Your national orienteering podcast. Map and compass, navigation skill, orienteering competition.
Jeg bommet noe jævlig på bossen her oppe.
Running like a motherfucker. Your national orienteering podcast.
Really warm welcome to Your national orienteering podcast. This weekend, we must say that we have had boots on the ground both in Norway and Sweden, and we know lots of things have been happening this weekend, and we will summarize all of that. What do you think, Ivo?
Yeah, we have a big menu today, starting with some news from the IOF, and then we have races in Sweden, in Norway, in Finland, in Czech Republic, and also in Great Britain.
Yeah, we can start with the news from the IOF about athlete representatives who has been elected for this next period.
Yeah, so there's this athlete advisory group which have four members from each, from the real orienteering, from ski orienteering, and from mountain bike orienteering, and so on, 4 to 6 from each discipline. And then, you know, from this group, this athlete advisory group, they will select the members of the IOF Athletes Commission. So that would be, so now we have four orienteers in the advisory group, and then it will be down to two for the Athletes Commission, that they will be working closer with the IOF Futo Commission and so on. So yeah, it's been election. I think the people that are able to vote are the ones that are running World Cup, World Champs, and so on. We had a nice field of candidates, some with experience from this kind of work before, and some new names.
And we see here also a percentage of the possible votes they've received. What does that indicate?
I'm not actually sure how we should read it, but I mean, it was a very, very close battle for the last of the four spots, and then we had three quite clear ones. So, and I'm not sure if we can say that Gustav Bergman won the vote, but he was the one that had the most votes. Efan Dongen was the second most voted, and then Elin Gempele was third. And then we had a really close battle, actually, with three guys fighting for the last spot. In the end, it was only a difference of 4 votes, 83 votes for Brodin and Curvis, the Australian runner, beating Pablo Ferrando, the Spanish runner, with 4 votes for the last spot in this advisory group.
Yes, and there was also a news from IOF about independent athletes' participation in world ranking events. That's something that allows, what we call independent runners to take part. That also includes Russian and Belarus runners, as far as I understand.
Yeah, when I first saw the headline, I was thinking, oh, does this open up for example, for Russian athletes at the World Championship, but it does not. First of all, I think it's some kind of a test system at first, so it will only be for the individual world ranking events. So, for example, when the Swedish League is a world ranking event, Russian, Belarusian runners, for example, that are living in Sweden, they can take part if they are fulfilling the demands to be recognized as an independent athlete. It's quite some process, so I don't think it will be a lot of runners that will fall into this at first, and then we will see how it develops. But it will not change the fact that there will be no Russian runners at the European champs, at the World Cup, and so on this year.
Yeah, because here we're only talking about world ranking events that is not, as you mentioned, World Cup or championships. It's only the world ranking events as we had in Norway this weekend.
Yeah, and I think the rules to be able to be eligible is quite a lot of them. So I think there is like, yeah, you have to, for example, for Russian or Belarusian athletes, you will have to be living resident outside the country. You will not be able to go back and compete in races that is organized by the Russian Orienteering Federation or Belarusian Orienteering Federation as they are suspended. So yeah, I don't think there will be a lot of athletes eligible for this.
But we have had a lot of runners been eligible to race this weekend, and we will go through it. Yeah, what should we say, nation by nation or day by day? We will start in Finland, where they had the first race of the Viesti Liiga this Friday, and it was a night relay both for women and men.
Yeah, the first Viesti Liiga of the year. The same old concept, three legs, pretty short ones, which means that there is always going to be close battles. On the women's side, we saw a very interesting first leg where Lotta Kairola from Tampere Pirjantö, she was alone to the first TV control, first radio control. And she was running the entire first leg alone in the lead, changing over with about a minute gap. Tampere Pirjantö got caught on the second leg, where it was quite a lot of big changes happening in the relay. For example, Kalmar Rasti lost a little bit of time in the first leg, but were in the second group there, caught up with Tampere Pirjantö on the second leg. And then on the last leg, Marika Teini, she were able to get away and secure a quite clear win in the end, almost 3 minutes ahead of Tampere Pirjantö. And then we had a big sprint for the third place. I think it was 6-7 teams fighting there together in the end, where Maya Sihanouja for MS Parma was the strongest in the sprint, edging out Tampere Pirjantö second team, and Laden Sunnistajat for the last spot on the podium.
Yeah, but even though it's worth noting that it was the runner for Laden Sunnistajat to last leg who had the best leg time on the last leg there.
Yeah, forever young Minna Kauppi, she was insanely fast on that last leg, beating really, really, really good runners. So even if she's getting older year by year, she's still very competitive in, and especially in these relays where she's running always very good. So I think she will be one to look out for also at Jukola this year.
Yeah, definitely. And also Kalman Rasti, who won the relay, and we've been in contact with the last runner there, Malika Teini, and she said it was it's always nice to start the season with the win, especially because no one in the team lives in snow-free southern Finland, so it was the first orienteering in Scandinavian terrain this year for us. But even though, and also maybe because of that, no one of them had a clean race. So they have a lot to improve before Tiumila.
And yeah, but it was a tricky course and there was a lot of mistakes. I think maybe, yeah, we mentioned some good performances from Lotta Kairola on the first leg and Minna Kauppi on the second leg, but I think maybe Evli Kasiku on the second leg had the most impressive race of the day. She was running really, really good and came to the changeover with a gap of almost 1.5 minutes after two legs. Unfortunately for Helsingin Suunnistajat, they made quite a lot of mistakes on the last leg. But yeah, I think it was a nice relay to follow because there was a lot of things that happening, a lot of changes. Not like sometimes you see one team go away on the first leg and they just cruise in the front all the way, and it's not really exciting. Here it was a lot of things that happened.
Yeah, and there were also a lot of things happening in the men's relay. How would you summarize that?
Yeah, I think a lot of things happening. It's a good way to describe it. We have kind of a similar end result here, with a clear winner, a pretty clear second place, and then a big fight for the last podium spot on the last leg. But it happened maybe a bit more dramatically than in the women's class. For example, it started on the first leg, Helsingin Sunnerstad, one of the big, big favorite teams. They lost, seven minutes, I think, on the first leg, making some really, really big mistakes. There was a small group that got a that got away, containing, for example, Aleksi Niemi from Tampere Pirinto, and Thomas Kotro from Ikalis Nusa Voima. So two of the big, big favorites team, they got a gap of more than 7 minutes down to Helsingin Sunnerstad. And with these kind of races where the legs are so short, I think you can't expect to get back in the fight with losing such a big margin. But it's also worth to notice that I think Helsingin Sunnerstad didn't really top their first team, because Einari Heinuri was running in their second team, and he was the second to change over on the first leg. And I think if they really wanted to go all in to win this race, they would put Einari in the first team, because he's really, really good runner, but also extremely solid relay runner. So I guess it was like part of preparation for Team Ila, perhaps, that they put in the young Jussi Rasaka in the first team. Helsingin Sunnerstad, from that point, they had to start chasing with Veli Kangas and Topi Sirilainen. Both ran really, really well in Hungary last week and are in good form. And I think we will come back to Topi Sirilainen when we get to the last leg. So first leg, it was a couple of teams with a small gap. Second leg, we saw Tampere Pirinto and Turun Metsinkivi running away from the others. And with Samu Heiska for Turun Metsinkivi coming all alone to the changeover of the two legs, about a minute. Minute and a half lead there, sending out the young Latvian runner Fritjis Spektors on the last leg in the lead. He had a rough night with quite a lot of mistakes and dropped down to sixth place. And with Turun Metsinkivi out of the fight there, Tampere Pirinto with Mikko Eerola could cruise into to a victory, a big margin victory, almost 5 minutes actually in the end. So they were never really threatened. And then we can come back to Helsingin Sunnerstad and Topi Sirilainen. He started out in 20th position, won the last leg with almost 3 minutes, and took Helsingin Sunnerstad first team all the way up to second place with a pretty good race, it seemed. Of course, the times is one thing, but the GPS looks also really smooth. And we saw him in Hungary last weekend that he's in really, really good form. He confirmed that, and really, really world-class performance by Topi Sirilainen here.
Yeah, it's he's almost 3 minutes faster than number two in this last leg. Of course, there are maybe some forkings and differences there, but really strong performance again from Sirilainen there.
Yeah, and then another one that climbed up well, Etu Savolainen, Ikalis Nusra Voima. They won the first leg with Thomas Kotro. Then Mikko Knuttila had a bad performance on the second leg, falling down from the lead to 17th place. And then Etu Savolainen with a very fast last leg. He was the third fastest, only behind Sirilainen and Eerola. He took them all the way up to third place, beating MS Parma and Ikalis Nusra Voima, second team, and Turun Metsinkivi in the fight for the third place.
And if we move from night orienteering in Finland to night orienteering in Sweden, there was Swedish night champs on Friday, where also you were on a camp with your club Tyrving and took part there. Should we start with the women's here also, of course?
Yeah, we can start with the women's. I think, just general about the race, it was organized by Erla, so a bit southwest from Stockholm, 1.5 hour southwest from Stockholm. Really proper Sörmlands terrain. Some parts really, really fast, some tough marshes, some tough green areas, and some parts with a bit rocky ground. The courses were good old school long distance courses for most of it, with a couple of long legs. In this kind of terrain, you don't have often have the most interesting route choices. Sometimes there is a good option around on the paths or on the roads, but a lot of the times you have to run just straight under the line. So we can start with the women's, as you said. It was a long race, winning time of 80 minutes. Quite close about the victory. And then the gaps got pretty big a bit down the list. Veronika Kalinina, the Russian runner running for Lidingö, she won the race and the Swedish title. You can win the Swedish championship if you're running for a Swedish club and you're a resident in Sweden. So she got the gold medal ahead of the Danish runner Annika Simonsen. Half a minute was between them in the end. Third place was another Danish runner, Malin Agevi Christiansen from IFK Göteborg, almost 2 minutes down. She was actually leading the race for quite a long time, but lost some time in the end and got passed by Kalinina and Simonsen. And then behind her, the gaps are getting bigger. Sabina Aumo in fourth place, representing Finland. And then in fifth place, we have the best Swede, Johanna Kjellvik Löfven, IFK Göteborg. And then we have a couple of more foreign runners, Line Sederberg, Danish runner, Susan Lösch, German runner, and then some more Swedes just in the bottom of the top 10. So I think, a lot of these are Swedish, Danish, or Swedish, Finnish, like Malin Agevi Christiansson and Line Sederberg, for example. I think they are pretty much equal Swedish and Danish, but they are both representing Denmark. And Sabine Aumo is also grown up in Sweden. So even if she's running for Finland, she is also partly Swedish. I think you have so many non-Swedish runners in top. I think that first and foremost tells us that the Swedish national team on the women's side really, really didn't prioritize this race. I think we have Emma Biesmo, she's from the elite team, and she was all the way down in 12th place, but except for her, it was not many of the big names participating.
Kalinina's first ever individual gold medal. She has a sprint gold medal with her club IFK Lidingö from 2 years ago, but individually it was her first Swedish gold medal. And it was, as you told also, really difficult technical orienteering, which suited her well, as she says to us. She was really looking forward to the process and feel like she executed it really great and had a stable race. Not perfect everywhere, but she was focused all the way and had the control over her orienteering. And she's really happy about that. And when you're winning a national champs, you should be really happy.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, as everyone knows, the Russian runners, they are not allowed to participate internationally. So for her, the Swedish championship is it is the biggest races she can take part in at the moment. So then, of course, it's always a good confirmation that you can do good in the most important races for you.
In the men's class, it was, I would say, really tight in the end here after 80 minutes running.
Yeah, it was really, really tight. But it would have been really, really good for the race if we had known that it was this tight, because it was some things strange happening with the start process when Simon Hector was about to start, because he started just after midnight. And I think they had some problems with the starting times and the watch they had at the start. So he ended up starting 1 minute too early. And because of him starting 1 minute too early and having a very good start at the first radio, he was up with more than 1.5 minutes. And then his gap was around 1.5 to 2 minutes most of the race. And then he made a mistake in the end, which seemed not so dramatic because it took his lead down from around 2 minutes to around 1 minute. And he ran into the finish as Swedish champion with a gap of 1 minute and 18 seconds. But then after the race, it was discovered that he had started 1 minute too early. And as it was said that it was the error of the personnel at the start and the organizers and not the runner, they decided to just adjust his time. So the gap was in the end 18 seconds. And I think if we had, for us that was following the radio controls and the GPS, and probably for the people at home watching the live stream, it would have been extremely interesting if it had been known that the gap was 1 minute smaller than it seemed to be. So I feel a bit sorry for the spectators at home being robbed for this really, really excitement. But yeah, Simon Hector, a great race from start to finish, except that one minute mistake in the end. Started fast, were able to keep the speed all the way. And yeah, with except of one control, his orienteering was really on point. And it's also his first Swedish championship title, I would guess.
Yeah, that's correct. He has been number 2, 3, 4 and 5 on her last four starts in the order 4, 2, 3 and 5. And then he is winning his first ever in the senior class. But as you mentioned, he lost 1 minute in what he himself is calling it the easiest control on the course, where you visited several times on the way, the third last.
Yeah, from my experience from that control and from looking his GPS, I don't really understand how he was able to do that mistake. But I mean, when you've been running for 75 minutes or something like that, I mean, it's easily that you're losing a bit of the concentration, and he just went straight past the control and continued a little bit. And you know, these things can happen when you're not 100% focused at the end of a race. But yeah, I think overall his performance is very impressive. But yeah, it was also close, meaning that there were other runners running very, very good races. Simon Imark took the silver medal, 18 seconds behind. Albin Riedefeldt, third place, just under 2 minutes behind. And then we had Johan Ek Larsson in fourth place and Emil Granqvist in fifth place, running really good races. And I mean, from the top, yeah, the top 20 were within 9 minutes. So it's pretty close. And I think it shows that the level in Sweden in these kind of races, the depth is really, really good. There is a lot of people in Sweden that can run very good night orienteering in these kind of classical Swedish terrain. And yeah, for us that were not so fit, it was a long night and the gaps got really big further down the results list. But yeah, Simon and Hector ran, and Imark, they ran 78 minutes. It was so not a full long distance, but at night that's a long race.
Quite long, but I have to correct you. Riedefeldt, he was just over 1 minute behind. You said 2.
I forgot about the time correction, you know. So no, the gap was really, really small. And I think Riedefeldt, he was only 50 seconds ahead of Ek Larsson in fourth place. And then Emil Granqvist in fifth place was also not that far behind. So it was a tight battle for the medals here.
Yeah, and after this long night race, there was a new race the evening after with the first legs of Stig Tomtakavl, where they had the two night legs in the women's class, and 3 in the men's class. Before there was a chasing start Sunday morning. You also were there with your club, Tyrving, to test the shape before Tiomila. But we will start with the women after the night, I think.
Yeah, two legs for the women, both of them forked, not too long. I think they were running about 37, 38 minutes. And the terrain was a bit different than the night champs. We were now moving a little bit south So between Nyköping and Norrköping, the terrain was very flat, very, very fast. And yeah, I think that's a recipe for a tight relay. And it was close on the women's side during the night. We saw IFK Göteborg's second team, Erika Kjellvik Löfven. She was the first to the changeover on the first leg. There was a small group to the finish there. I think it was 5, 6, 7 teams within 15 seconds or something like that. And we saw some of the favorite teams, they were trailing a bit. We had both the IFK Göteborg teams in the front group. But then, yeah, teams like Göteborg Majorna, Iktisa, Stora Tuna lost around 2 minutes on the first leg. Partly, you know, the mistakes is also a part of it, but there were also some small differences in the forking. And then, of course, on the second leg, you see some of the girls that had some teams with long forkings on the first leg, they have a bit shorter on the second leg and can catch up a bit. And we saw it, yeah, the teams coming from behind, they were running, some of them were running really well. Best of everyone on the second leg, Magdalena Olsson from Stora Tuna, started almost 2 minutes behind, caught up with the lead. And then when the two IFK Göteborg teams made a mistake, she was able to get the gap. And she came along to the changeover after two legs, 20 seconds ahead of IFK Göteborg, 1 minute ahead of Göteborg's second team. And then we had Iktisa and Göteborg Majorna and Eksjö not that far behind.
And quite tight, as you mentioned. Five teams within 1.5 minutes and number six, 2.5 minutes down. And it was also tight after the night in the...
Yeah, but I think we should finish with the women's first. I think it's a bit messy if we do the night, and then. So we can continue with the women the next day. Three legs. First one pretty short. Stora Tuna started in front, 20 seconds ahead of Göteborg's first team, 1 minute ahead of Göteborg's second team. And then Iktisa 1.5 minute down and Göteborg Majorna 2.5 minute down. And then it got on the third leg, it got really, really close. Miri Tranödum starting first for Göteborg. She started second for Göteborg. She passed Stora Tuna, but she got caught from behind. Göteborg Majorna with Eleonora Alinde ran really, really well. Sandra Gråsberger from Iktisa ran well. And also behind them, Agnes Nørgaard Kracht ran really well also for Västervik. And Göteborg Majorna was the first team to the changeover. Iktisa now only 2 seconds behind. And then IFK Göteborg 15 seconds down. So Miri Tranödum, she couldn't stay away. And she also got dropped a little bit in the last part of the course. Agnes Nørgaard Kracht with a good race up to fourth place for Västervik after they were number 10 after the night legs. And then, so it was... Yeah, it was close after the night, and then we had the first leg in the day where it really, really gathered up together. And now we had the three teams in the fight for the victory. And at this point, it was pretty close because none of the teams were like looking dominant on paper. Göteborg Majorna with two very strong runners, Eva Örnhagen Jörgensen and Lina Strand on the last two legs. Iktisa with the young Polish, Hanna Sudol, and then Alexandra Hornik on the last leg. And then IFK with Ida Kristiansson and Elin Monsen. So at this point, it looked to be a very, very interesting race, and it was. On the fourth leg, Ida Kristiansson, Göteborg, IFK Göteborg, she took the lead back from the city colleagues in Göteborg Majorna. Now the gap was a half minute between them. Iktisa lost 4 minutes, and they got almost caught by Västervik. So then we had on the last leg, we had Lina Strand chasing Elin Monsson for the first place, and we had Efan Dongen chasing Alexandra Hornik for the third place. The battle for the victory was, it was close for a while. I think the first half of the course, Lina Strand was keeping around half a minute behind, so within striking distance if Elin Monsson did a mistake, but then Monsson was increasing the lead slightly And in the end, it was not exciting at all because the gap grew over 3 minutes. So victory for IF Göteborg, second place for Göteborg Majorna. So change of position from the first race in the Swedish Relay League 2 weeks ago in Skåne. Revenge for IF Göteborg.
Yeah, and it's also worth noting that, as you mentioned, in the Finnish Relay League, here we have IFK Göteborg's second team as number six. So it's looking quite good for them before Tio Mila.
Yeah, and there is a lot of runners that could potentially run in the first and second team of IFK Göteborg at Tio Mila that are not taking part here. I mean, yeah, there is no Simone Abishol, there is no Sanna Fast. I don't know about her injury status. There is no Isia Basé, there is no Victoria Hestabjörnstad, there is no Ingrid Lundanes. So they have some more girls to put in. While a team like Göteborg Majorna and also Igtisa, they are here with more or less their best teams. So I think logically the gap between IF Göteborg and the other teams that were taking part here should grow bigger at Tio Mila, but Tio Mila is a separate race and we will see how it goes there. And yeah, while the fight for the victory in the end wasn't that exciting, we saw a very exciting sprint finish for the third place because Efan Dongen, she was able to catch up with Alexandra Hornick and they were together in the end, sprinting it out from the last control to the finish, and Alexandra Hornick was this one meter faster that she had to be. So third place for Igtisa, fourth place for Västervik. And then a bit down the results list, we have a fifth place for Eksjö, a positive surprise. And then you mentioned IF Göteborg, second team in sixth place. And then we have UK Kåre in seventh place, not with their best team, I would guess. I think they have some more runners they can put in for Tio Mila. But it's worth noting that the two most recognizable names, they were running really well. Vilma von Krüsersteiner, she won the first leg, and Lisa Risby was the fastest girl on the last leg. Even if she retired from international orienteering last year, her form is still pretty good when she's able to beat girls like Elin Månsson, Caroline Olsson, and so on the last leg here.
Definitely. We will see in the men's relay that, at least after the night, UK Kåre is really strong. But one team even stronger in the men's class there during the night.
Yeah, and no surprise. Stora Tuna, they put Victor Svensk on the first leg. And then they had Henrik Johansson on the second leg. So the quality of this, the first two legs in this team is undoubtedly really, really high. Neither of them ran the night champs, so they had fresh legs. And Victor Svensky went to the front directly, and he got away before the first TV control. And he was running alone in the lead all the way, making the gaps down pretty, pretty big. With Simon Imak, second place in night champs, he was the closest one to follow, but he lost some time. It was one minute or something like that, and then the gaps behind were pretty big. They came in two or three runners together, and then a gap down to the next group, and so on. So, and a lot of good teams, they lost significant time on the first leg. For example, one of the favorite teams, IF Göteborg, they lost 3.5 minutes. They were together with UK Ravinen. UK Linné lost a lot of time. I think it was all over five minutes for the young Felix Silver on the first leg. And other strong teams, they were losing significant time on the first leg, meaning that you had very, very good runners starting a bit behind in the second leg, and that the good runners on the second leg, they were pretty spread out. Henrik Johansson, he was running in front the whole way, keeping the lead, but the gap was increasing to the second place. But some of the teams that were fighting for the overall win with Tuna, they were getting closer. Eskil Kinneberg was the fastest on the second leg. He took quarter up from 35th place to top six or something like that, catching up with some of the top teams like IF Göteborg. He passed also Uko Ravine and so on. Interesting. The start of the relay where Stora Tuna really got a big gap. But it's hard to run alone in the lead. And then on the third leg, which is a much shorter leg, Anton Forsberg was running alone in the lead, while there was a nice group behind him that was led by Carl Wahlheim from UK Kåre and Ludvig Ek from IF Göteborg. They were able to run a 2-3 minutes faster and catching up time. And I think on such a leg, 6-7 kilometers, very fast terrain, not too difficult orienteering. And the people knows that it's unforked. It's a huge advantage to be in a group. And that made the relay much, much more exciting, because if Stora Tuna would have got a big, big gap after the night, it would have been over. But now the teams behind, they lost only half a minute. UK Kåre, IFK Göteborg, Farentis Vilde, and IFK Umeå. And there was also not more than about two and a half minutes down to a bigger group with UK Linné, with Tyrving, and also with UK Ravine trailing a little bit behind this group. So the third leg was really putting the teams closer to each other and making the relay exciting also in the morning.
Yeah, maybe don't let the last runners in Stora Tuna sleep too good and too easy during the night from Saturday to Sunday there, before they were heading out to defend their lead.
Yep, but yeah, Stora Tuna had a really, really strong team. They burned Viktor Svensk in the night, and then they finished with the three other brothers, the three other Svensk brothers in the morning. So Jesper Svensk, he started out in front, half a minute ahead of a small group with Johan Högstrand and a young Danish runner, Hans Grønborg Nielsen from Farentis Vilde, and also another young guy from Kåre, Joel Golsæter. Svensk, he started fast. He was increasing the gap a little bit in the beginning to around 1 minute, and then the gap stayed around 50 seconds to 1 minute. Golsæter from Kåre, he could not keep up with Högstrand and Grønborg Nielsen. So Högstrand and IF Göteborg was in second place to the changeover. Farentis Vilde in third place. Really, really good start from Farentis Vilde. I think they did a really good decision to put the two best runners on the first two legs, with Jakob Steintal and Gustav Runefors, because with the third leg and the fourth leg being unforked, it's such a huge advantage to be in the front groups that are running fast on these legs. And after four legs, they were in third place. And I mean, if they had finished with both Tran Ödum brothers, I think they would have been a contender for a podium, at least for a top six. Unfortunately, from Farentis Vilde, they had a bit of weaker runners in the last two legs and dropped out of the top 10. But I think it's a very, very promising performance by them. And I think they should be very motivated for Tio Mila after a good experience here.
Yeah, definitely. They've shown up their shirt in the front of a relay in the Swedish Relay League already. And that will be also giving some confidence before next race in the Relay League and Tio Mila.
Yep. And then, so in fourth place after four legs, we have UK Kåre. I must say, I was a bit surprised to see Joel Golsæter being dropped. But Johan Högstrand is in good form, and he was running fast. So things like that can happen, even if you think it's a short leg, it's unforked, it's easy to follow in this kind of terrain where the orienteering is not that hard. It's a bit harder to follow. If it's really technical terrain and you know the guy that is doing the orienteering has to slow down a bit, it's easier to follow. Here, Golsæter, he got dropped, and then it was a gap from the leading Stora Tuna and down to the teams, the group with UK Ravine, UK Linné, Södertälje, Nykvarn and Tyrving. The gap was about 340. Hannes Mogensen, the junior world champion from last year, he ran the fastest leg for Ravinen. catching the group that they lost on the third leg. That was also a bit surprising, I must say. On the third leg, we had Edwin Forsberg for Ravinen running in a group with that was led by Cornelius Löfald. And I mean, Edwin Forsberg is a really good runner. He's been in the top 10 basically all the races in Sweden so far this year in men 20, and when you're in the top 10 in men 20 in Sweden, then you are really, really good. But he wasn't able to keep up with Cornelius Löfald and Ukko Linné the last kilometer or so, one and a half kilometer of the third leg, meaning that Hannes Mogensen had to chase. And I think that minute Ravinen lost on the third leg, that minute could have been important later in the relay.
Yeah, if we continue, we will see that. It's a nerve to be going out less than 3 minutes ahead of Gustav Bergman in this relay, so I think.
Yeah, you always want a significant gap before Gustav Bergman. But yeah, luckily for Stora Tuna, Joakim Svensky ran a really, really, really solid race on the fifth leg, alone in the lead the whole way, putting down the fastest time. He was increasing the gap to the other teams. Jonas Gustafsson from Kåre, he ran really good, taking them from fourth place to second place. Filip Ossason from IF Göteborg, he was losing a couple of minutes, but still stayed away from the group with Snu, with Ravinen and Ukko Linné. But we had six teams within around 4 minutes. And I think when Emil Svensk is starting out with he knows that the lead is about 4 minutes down to Gustav Bergman, then I think he's not too stressed because he's in good form. He won the Swedish League and he knows that, Gustav Bergman is always flying and running really, really good in these kind of relay races, but 4 minutes on a 45 minute leg, that should be no danger.
And he solved it really well. And after the race, he told Even National Orienteering Podcast that it was really solid racing from all in the team. And there was no mistakes at all during the whole relay. And they put it on the account for a good and solid before Tio Mila, and goes into Tio Mila with good self-confidence. And that will be exciting for sure.
Definitely. And I think when we're talking about Stora Tuna, I think it's been some promising results from not only from the six that ran in the first team here. I think Henrik Petrisi, he ran a good relay leg. He was also doing pretty good at the Swedish Night Champs. Ville Johansson is also looking to be in decent form. Ulle Karlred was not taking part this weekend, but he is always solid when he's running. So it does look good for Stora Tuna, but they were here with a really, really good team. Some of the teams behind, they were lacking obvious runners that could have been strengthening their team. For example, if we take the second place, Ukko Ravinen, Axel Granqvist was back in action after his hand injury at the Swedish Relay League. But they still didn't have a runner like Quentin Roturier or Erik Herne, two runners that definitely would have been in the team if it was, we put our six best runners here. So it does look very good for Ravinen. IF Göteborg is also running well. Also without a lot of runners, they are missing Kasper Fosse, missing Elias Jonsson, missing Håvard Eidsmo, missing Quentin Mollet, and still they are in third place here with a lot of good performances. I think Fredrik Backman was running very well on the second leg. Ludvig Ek was doing good. Johan Högstrand was running well. And I think these guys will be very important for IF Göteborg in Tio Mila during the night. Also, they had Vega Kittilsen that was running really well at the Swedish Night Champs and also running a very fast leg in the second team on the second leg. So I think it looks good for all the top three teams here in this relay. It looks really, really good for Team Eli, and yeah, they have strong runners to fill up to 10 guys.
Definitely. And some of the guys you're mentioning here, they were racing in Norway this weekend, where there were selection races for the first round of the World Cup with sprints in Switzerland and Italy. The selection was at 3,000 meter in the morning, and then sprint race in the afternoon here on Friday. And I don't know if you followed the live stream of the 3,000, but it was yeah, quite tight fight in both the women's and the men's class there at the Halden Stadium.
Yeah, if we take the women's class first, it was four girls within 5 seconds, and yeah, nine girls within 19 seconds. So it was quite a big group for a long time. I think Andrine Benjaminsen was doing most of the work. But then in the end, the younger girls were sprinting past her. Pia Jungvik had the fastest race with the 9:54. I think that's a good time. It wasn't optimal conditions. A little bit of rain maybe. How was the wind?
Not so much wind. It was approximately 8 degrees and rain. So the rain was most disturbing, and I would have liked it a couple of degrees, but there was at least no wind. And the wind there was it was Andrine Benjaminsen who took it in front of the others, as you mentioned, for a long time.
Yeah, and then among the men, it was also close. I think it was the front group was close to 10 guys until the last, more or less until the last loop. And there, Elias Jonsson really put the hammer down on the last loop. So he was winning ahead of Torneina Moon Pedersli and Ulrik Astrup Arnesen. I think that the official time in the result list is 8:19, but I think I'm not sure if the timing was so good, because I've seen the runners themselves are claiming they run 8:17.
Yeah,
so I don't know how.
That's true. I think it was said was clocked at 8:17, but then the official time was 8:19. That's correct. But here it was Cornelius Björk who set the pace. But when he was starting to struggle, took over, and he won the race here.
Yeah, and I think so. Eight guys are running clearly below 8:30. I think that's a good sign. I mean, we don't have to go. That's quite a lot of them. So I think that shows how sprint orienteering is more important, maybe for the new generation of runners, and therefore they train more specific towards being fast runners on hard surface, and not only running in the forest the entire year. But yeah, eight guys running under 8:30, that's pretty good. So then if you are following the, I think it was Tim Robertson who said it, that you need to be able to run 8:30, and then from being able to run 8:30, you don't become a much better sprint orienteer by becoming a faster runner. Then you have like the bare minimum. And as we will see when we come to the sprint in the afternoon, 3,000 meter and sprint orienteering, it's still two different things.
Yeah, because in the sprint in the afternoon, it was some others on top of the list.
Yeah, in the women's class, we saw a very clear victory from Andrine Benjaminsen. She was beating the Danish runner Josefine Lind with 27 seconds. Pia Jungvik, the winner of the 3,000 meter, in third place, 29 seconds down. And then some surprising names and some familiar names behind. Fourth place, Frida Haugskott. She's pretty young. She doesn't have a lot of results like this. Anne Dyrkorn in fifth place, she is more established. And also in sixth place, we have Lene Berg Hansen, the Norwegian champion from last year, and Hedvig Gidesen, the very strong Danish runner. So I think, it's a very good sign for Andrine Benjaminsen. She's obviously been doing well this winter with the training. She was running well in the forest races in Sweden, in the Swedish league in Skåne, 2 weeks ago, and now she's winning the sprint here with a big margin. So that's a sign that she's on the way to the right direction, leading up to the World Cup in 1.5 months' time.
Yeah, after the race, she said that she felt it was good technically, but a bit heavy legs after the 3,000 meters. But she also says that this sprint is maybe not so good if you compare it against the international top-level orienteering. But I don't know. And in the men's class, it was actually shared victory here.
Yeah, so Håvard Eidsmo and Erik Langdal Breivik the same time. And Erik Langdal Breivik, he was one of the last guys in the 3,000 meter in the morning. But when he gets a map in his hand, he is almost equally fast and he can do the good decisions fast. The two of them won with 11 seconds ahead of Tobias Alsta. And then the gap was quite big down to Alvaro Casado, the Spanish runner from Halden, in fourth place. And then it was extremely close. So from Alvaro Casado in fourth place to Henry McNulty in 10th place, the gap is only 9 seconds. So there it was really like 1 second could make a huge difference. 2 seconds could make a huge difference in the result list.
And after this race, Langdal Breivik says he hoped he could say that he was saving his legs for the sprint, but that wasn't the fact. But in the sprint, at least, he had good flow and good technical performance. But as Andrina, he also tells that this may not be good enough internationally. Eidsmo, he is saying that he didn't have a good flow. It was a bit messy, but often it feels like that in the start of the season.
Yeah, I mean, training sprint and racing sprint, it's almost the same, but you still need to really find the rhythm, and I don't think you get that from the first sprint competitions you run. So I think that's a normal feeling, that you feel a little bit rusty in the first real races you're running.
And after two races on Friday, it was a middle distance world ranking event on Saturday in the same terrain as the Norwegian champs night orienteering last spring.
Yeah, so a bit east for Halden. I don't think the terrain it's not really difficult because the visibility is quite good. And the level of details, it's not extremely detailed. But it's possible to make a good middle distance course. And I think, it looks to be pretty challenging. On the women's side, the gaps are significant from Andrine Benjaminsen and down to the others. She's winning with 1.5 minutes ahead of Oda Schele and 2 minutes ahead of Megan Carter-Davis in third place. And then behind Carter-Davis, it was really close. Camilla Steve, Helena Karlsson, and Kaja Vincent Nordhagen were only a few seconds behind Carter-Davis. So the top six was within 2 minutes and 18 seconds. I think it's worth noting that Kaja Vincent Nordhagen, she made her debut this weekend for Nydalen. So another strong women's runners to Nydalen. And I think they had 3 girls in the top 7 here, showing that they are on good route to Team Ila as well.
It's also worth mentioning that Pia Jongvik, she was around the course with the second best time of the day, only a couple 20 seconds behind Benjaminsen, but she was missing a punch on her control, where she actually were together with Helena Karlsson. Just for the books.
We know that Pia Jongvik is in very good form, so that's not a surprise that she could have been high up in the result list if she had all the punches with her.
But at least Andrine Benjaminsen felt she had a good race with good flow in the technique, but it was not perfect, even though it was a good feeling.
Yes, and then in the men's class, so in the women's class, the winning margin for Andrine Benjaminsen was 1 minute and 33 seconds. In the men's class, the gap between number 1 and number 11 was 1 minute and 23 seconds. So it was extremely close. But even if it was extremely close, you still get the feeling that the winner was kind of with a big margin, because Gauthier Stever, he won with 31 seconds ahead of Håvard Eidsmo. And then behind Eidsmo, it was so close with very small gaps between the runners. Guillaume Elias in third place, Oscar Edvardsson, the Norwegian champion, in fourth place, Sander Arntzen in fifth place, Canadian Vegard Jarvis Westigo in sixth place, Finnish Aro Aho in seventh place, and also some other foreign runners in the top 10 with the Czech Martin Rudny in ninth place and German Bojan Blumenstein in 10th place. So yeah, some kind of international field here.
And even though Gauthier Stever has retired for international, he has been training quite good in this Østfold terrain, and he enjoys running in Norway. And of course, it was nice for him to win this race.
Yep, and then after the middle distance, it was time for a long distance, a proper long distance. On the women's side, the winning time was 88 minutes. On the men's side, it was just below the magic 90. So yeah, the course setter should have put a few hundred meters more in the women's course and 50 meters more in the men's course, and then it would have been perfect.
Should we also mention the course setter is the long distance king in international orienteering, also known as Olav Lundanes.
Yeah, and the courses looked like a proper long distance course. Some long legs where you had to do both route choices and these kind of micro routes. So it was not a lot of dead running, but still you have the challenges all the way. So I think it seemed to be a good course, and the terrain is very nice. So it's really, when I saw the course, I was really thinking that it would have been nice to run this.
Yeah, and it was really nice for the women's there, I think, a really long distance and quite tight in the end.
Yeah, quite close. I mean, within the top 13, it was less than 5 minutes. The difference between the victory and second place was only 7 seconds. Anne Dyrkorn winning ahead of Camilla Stever. And then with the super veteran Anne-Margrethe Hausken-Norberg in third place. Helena Karlsson, fourth place. Victoria Hester-Bjørnstad, fifth place. And then Anna Toledo in sixth place.
And Anna Dyrkorn, she says that when she knowing that Andrine Benjaminsen and Megan Carter-Davis, who was supposed to start just ahead and just behind her, were not coming to start, she was prepared to be doing quite a lot of orienteering by her own this Sunday. And she executes good, and it's good for her self-confidence. And with a victory, as it mentioned here, of course. And you mentioned Camilla Stever. She was, after being mother and not competing so much lately, she had an early start and was leading the whole day until last starter came to the finish and taking the victory with 7 seconds.
Yep, and then moving to the men's side, it was also a very close race, but the winning margin was doubled from 7 seconds for the women to 14 seconds in the men's class. Guillaume Elias, the French guy living in Halden, running for Halden, he was on the podium at the Swedish League long distance 2 weeks ago, and now he won this race, beating Erik Langdal Breivik with 14 seconds. Sander Arntzen, medalist from the Norwegian long distance champ last autumn, he got the third place. Elias Jonsson, fourth place. Veteran Magne Dahl in fifth place, and Andreas Sølberg in sixth place.
Yeah, and French winner in this race, he says that his tactic was going straight all the way because he knew that the course setter, Olav Lundanes, likes to go straight himself. But even though he didn't think that it was a good tactic today or on Sunday, because he got really tired in the end. But even though it was good to win and now after having been struggling last year, he has a good balance between work and training, and he is on a good road to the European champs, because he is only prioritizing forest orienteering this year.
Yeah, and he's on good road to Team Milan Jukola as well. And I think Halden is a team that we should really look out for this year. Last year, they started really well at Team Milan, and then they had a couple of horrible legs just after the long night. So they didn't really get to fulfill the potential. And now with Guillaume Elias, he have really stepped up this year. I would suspect him to be able, he should be running the last leg. Magne Dahli is also showing signs of very good form here with the fifth place. Aro Au, the Finnish guy that is new in Halden this year, he's also a good runner. So I think Halden is one of the teams that we should mark down and really look out for in the coming 2 weeks, 3 weeks leading up to Team Milan to see some more of the how the guys that are, you know, number 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 in the team are performing, because yeah, the best ones, they are looking good.
Yeah, that will be interesting, because there are at least the coming weekend there will be racing also in Norway, but the racing this weekend, we are not finished yet because it was some high level events in Czech Republic with the night champs Saturday night.
Yep, night champs in Czech Republic, a bit like in Sweden, where not a lot of national team runners were taking part. But yeah, we have some well-known winners. On the women's side, Denisa Kosova won with 2 minutes ahead of Jana Petrova. Barbara Szalupska got the last medal. We saw Kosova, she was running well in Hungary last weekend, so she's in good form. So I think we can, yeah. I mean, it's not unlikely that she would have been able to win even if everyone was here. But yeah, you can only beat the ones that are at start line, and she took the another Czech championship title.
Yeah, she's saying to Even National Orienteering Podcast that it was a tough race in the night with a lot of blackberries on the ground, but luckily she did the race now and not in 2 months' time, because then probably the blackberries would have been even worse. And she had a stable performance even without so much night training before the race.
And then on the men's side, the gaps was really, really big. Miloš Nikodim won with almost 5 minutes ahead of his national team colleague, Jonas Hubacek. Third place, Portuguese Thomas Lima, 9 minutes down. So yeah, the gaps were really big, and most of the teams from guys from the national team, they were sadly missing, so not a lot of competition for Milos and Jonas Hubacek here.
Yeah, Milo also mentioning that sadly many good runners missing, mostly because of illness. Krivda is in the US, Carl twisted ankle in Hungary just a short time before the champs, and Rudny was in Norway. So as he is telling to Even National, he had the door title wide open. But yeah, as you mentioned, you have to do the work. And he had an okay race, just have one bigger mistake during the course.
Yep, and then on Sunday it was a Czech Cup middle distance. On the women's side, Denisa Kosova won again with a big margin, 2 minutes ahead of Teresa Čekova. And then the gaps further down was also big with third place Barbara Matejkova, 3 minutes down. And I think from what we saw from Denisa Kosova in very strong starting field in Hungary last week, I think these gaps are to be expected. It seems to me that she's maybe at a higher level so far this year than she's ever been at. So it will be interesting to see what she can do when the international season really kicks off. She had a couple of really good results last year. I think she was in the top six at the sprint, World Cup sprint in Czech Republic after the World Champs. So she's definitely one name to mark down before the World Cup starts.
Yeah, and it could be difficult to be racing on the day after a night champ, but she definitely managed that. Both Hubacek and Nikodim also managed that, but they changed positions.
Yes, so Hubacek got revenge from the night, beating Miloš Nikodim with 25 seconds. Thomas Lima, another third place, 37 seconds down, and then Daniel Pompura, 53 seconds down. So Yeah, this was a bit too close, I would say. Yeah, we have seen Hubacek and Nykodym competing a lot internationally, and if they are to to reach for example a top 15 or top 20 in the World Cup level race, I think the gaps down to the other runners here should be bigger than it was.
Yeah, but maybe you don't know if they're suffering after being running 80 minutes or so, night entering just some hours before and a bad night of sleep.
Yeah, you know, Milos, he's even older than me, and I was struggling a lot the day after the Swedish Night Champs. So I can only imagine how the old Milos Nikodym would feel.
From an old but still performing good Milos Nikodym, we travel to the Great Britain's champs in long distance, was held this weekend also.
Yeah, not with the top names at the start list. We have Megan Carter-Davis. She was running in Norway. Ralph Street is injured, so the best Brits, they were not taking part. But I think that's also not uncommon for this British Championship. But still, yeah, you can only beat the runners that are at start line. And it was like a long distance, 1 hour and 41 minute winning time, both for women and for the men. On the women's side, the gaps were huge. Fiona Bunn was winning almost 5 minutes ahead of Chloe Potter. And Lucy Walker in third place was over 10 minutes down. So it was not a lot of runners that were running this race below 2 hours in the women's class. I think it was like eight or something. So really a proper long distance and a long day out for a lot of runners.
Yeah, quite tough there. And it was quite tight, even though in the men's class.
Yeah, so Will Gardner, he took the victory, 11 seconds ahead of Peter Bray. Luke Fisher in third place, 50 seconds down. He was the guy that won the long distance at JK, and now he got third place here. So confirming that he's at a new level this year compared to what he's been doing lately, the last few years. And he's maybe a guy maybe we'll see him take part in European Championship, for example. Should be possibilities to qualify for the British team there when you're consistently running really good long distance races at home in Britain.
Yeah, and yeah, he's got paid with a medal here, and maybe he can get paid with a spot in the World Cup team later on in the season. There is no World Cup coming up next week, but there are some national champs and some other juicy stuff.
Yeah, I think the most interesting stuff that the coming weekend is the Swiss Championship middle distance. On the women's side, we will see a close battle between Natalia Gempele and Simone Eberscholt, two of the absolute best runners in the world. On the men's side, with Matthias Kubots, on holiday from orienteering, focusing on marathon, it should be a very open fight there. Most of the national team guys are taking part, so it should be a nice race to follow. There's also a world ranking event sprint, and of course with the World Cup in Switzerland coming up in 38 days or something like that, most of the Swiss runners, they are heavily minded towards the sprint at the moment. So I expect a lot of runners, both on the men and women's side, will be very eager to get a good sprint experience here before the selection races.
So you're telling that Kibbutz will do orienteering. The question is, will he do...
No,
No.
I said he's on holiday, and that's why it's open. So he's holiday from orienteering, not from on orienteering holiday. Yeah, but, sorry. No.
But the big question is, will he run Tiomila for Tiöving? Can you answer that one for us?
Well, it's not confirmed yes or no yet. So I've got some orienteering club clothes from the club to bring home with me to Switzerland. So I will give it to him, and then I will tell him that they are to be used at Tiomila. So hopefully he will be there. But yeah, I can't say how, if it's 10% chance or if it's 80% chance. I have no idea at the moment.
So we will try to buy him with some clothes. Should be really nice training t-shirt confession, I think.
But that
will be exciting to see. But that's still almost 3 weeks until then. First we will cover what we have been talking about now next week.
Yes, and there is also some other interesting races. There is a sprint world ranking event in Estonia. It will be interesting to see if there is a good starting field there. For example, runners from if there are runners from Finland taking the ferry over, if there is runners from Latvia and so on, it could be a competitive field. I haven't been able to find the entry list, so I'm not sure what we will see. But if there is a lot of interesting runners, that's something to talk about. There's also some sprint races in Scotland coming up, and there is in Norway, it's the traditional Lørdagskjappen and Smålenløpet. Neither of them are Norwegian Cup races this year, but it seems to be quite a good starting field, and it's important races for the big Norwegian clubs, for Anthony, for Halden, for Nydal, for Tyring, and so on. It's an important race for Team Ila selections.
Yeah, and we will cover that really tight next week. Thank you for listening now, and we hope you will be back next week.
Bye bye.
Mannen drog ut og løp orientering med kart og kompass og med rektige sko. Sikta sågar etter beste notering, for kroppen var lett og god.
Your National Orienteering Podcast. Map and compass, navigation skill, orienteering competition.
Jeg har møtt noe jævlig på bossen her oppe.
Running like a motherfucker. Your National Orienteering Podcast.